up to Barkley, runs right. Skips out, 15, 20. He's into the secondary, 25, 30, 35, 40. And he gets knocked into the Giants sideline over the 50 at the Cleveland 48-yard line. Demaryius Randall got him. He was the last guy that could get him. What a start for Saquon Barkley.
Not a bad first touch for the number two overall pick as the Giants fell to the Browns. Don't know what the score was, but I know Cleveland took care of business in their preseason opener against the New York football Giants. And the number one pick, Baker Mayfield, got some action as well. We'll get into that in just a second. Harrison Graham, Hassan Azad, and Taylor Phillips with you until 8 o'clock. It is ESPN game night here on 103.3 FM ESPN. Coming up in 20 minutes, we get back into the Cowboys as their first preseason game is in the books. What were some guys that stood out to us? We'll get into some more fringe roster guys, maybe a little Cooper Rush action. See how we feel about the backup quarterback situation, among other things. Lance Lenoir, I know, is your big guy. We'll get into him coming up in 20 minutes. But right now, let's go around the NFL. 12 games last night, and I don't know if they've done this before where they have 12 games on that first Thursday of the preseason.
Well, they want to get all the bad football out at once. That's new NFL policy.
That's the goal. Oh, and it's in classic NFL action. The Cowboys were basically the last game and the only game in action when they took place. So.
Please, can we not do that again? I'm tired. Falling asleep.
What, the West Coast?
Yeah, listen, I may be 29, but I'm getting old, guys. All right, let's not put it. I felt like we're watching Rangers A's.
Yeah, a little more excitement than Rangers A's in the middle of June, but no doubt about it. 9 o'clock start for a preseason game, not exactly ideal. We'll get back into the Cowboys again in 20 minutes. Right now, I want to start with that Cleveland and Giants game. You heard the highlight. Saquon Barkley takes it 39 yards in his opening carry. Didn't do much after that. But when talking about the NFC East, Saquon Barkley's addition to the Giants certainly, you would think, makes them a bit of a formidable foe for the Dallas Cowboys. And we saw a little taste of what Saquon's going to be able to bring to the table last night.
Well, two things. Yes, Saquon Barkley with Odell Beckham Jr., with Sterling Shepard, you know, all these guys, you know, they have a lot of weapons.
They beef up the offensive line a little bit. They add Nate Solder. They draft the Hernandez kid. Still not a great offensive line, but you would certainly think there's some improvement there.
Yeah, there's one thing they have a problem. Eli Manning is their quarterback.
He doesn't look very good these days.
He's old. He's done. I don't know why they, you know, if they should have kept that switch last year.
I think the Giants are stuck in this assumption where, well, Beckham was hurt last year. That the offensive line had problems. We couldn't run the football. Let's beef up the offensive line. Beckham's back this year. We draft Saquon Barkley. We do those things. Eli will be a better player. And yes, I do think he will be better than he was last year. But you're talking about making a guy who was really bad into really good. And I think that's a big assumption. Not that he has to be a superstar for them to succeed, because he's won two Super Bowls without being anything close to a Super Bowl. But, Eli Manning's got to play much better football for the Giants to be a factor. I do want to focus mostly here on the Browns.
That's a shock. I heard that statement.
Listen, man, I don't know how many games the Browns are going to win this year, but I know that they're going to be a lot more exciting. I don't think they're going to be a complete dumpster fire. I like the quarterback situation. Tyrod Taylor's a steady veteran who doesn't turn the ball over a lot. You saw last night, 5 for 5, 99 yards and a touchdown, his two series of work. Baker Mayfield brings excitement to that team. Got off to a slow start before throwing for over 200 yards and a couple of touchdowns. Let's also hear one of those touchdown passes he threw to fellow rookie Antonio Callaway.
Mayfield back, looks, throws. Callaway caught it. 45-40, and he may be gone. 20, 15, 10, 5, touchdown, Antonio Callaway. How about that? Callaway, 54 yards. That's why they got him, right?
Yep.
You know, give him just a little bit of space, and he's gone.
I don't know if you know the history of Antonio Callaway from his days at Florida. Lots of marijuana and other related arrests.
He's at home.
He already had indicted for got a ticket for having marijuana on him a few nights ago. But that's certainly another exciting player for Cleveland. I want to get into this quarterback situation. Are you in the camp where Tyrod's the guy this year? Because that I'm in that camp. I think Tyrod Taylor is going to be this team's quarterback. Hugh Jackson has said so. He's got the weapons around him when Gordon comes back, if Callaway can stay out of trouble. I think it benefits Cleveland and Baker Mayfield most if Baker doesn't play this year.
I agree 100%. But now we'll put this out here. I have a little bias. I don't think Baker Mayfield would be that great of a quarterback. That's just my opinion. I never liked him in Oklahoma. I just never liked him. That was just my personal thing. But of the two quarterbacks going out of for Cleveland's offense, I think Tyrod Taylor needs to be the starter. He is the veteran. He needs to get, you know, Baker, if he's going to learn anything, it's good to learn from, take a seat and watch somebody grow and see what the inaccuracy. You don't want to put a rookie quarterback out there and say, hey, here you go. Here's your offense. And of course, they don't really, you know, we're not sure if this is going to be a great team or not.
And especially for Cleveland, how many quarterbacks have cycled in and out of there? And to me, largely because they throw them out to the fire way too early when you don't have the pieces around them. And again, I do think they have better pieces this year. You have Jarvis Landry. If Gordon, you know, can stick around and not get in trouble, that's a damn good 1-2 punch with him and Landry. And Callaway, again, another player. You get Carlos Hyde, the running back. They've got some pieces. Granted, the offensive line's going to have some issues, and we'll see what they do defensively playing in that tough division, the AFC North. But the last thing you want to do if you're Cleveland is put this kid out there and have him fail a lot as a rookie when you've had so many guys cycle in and out and not stick around for very long.
You mentioned the big point about the offensive line. It's not as good as you want it to be, and that's the thing. You don't want to put a rookie quarterback behind a bad offensive line. Look what happened, and we might talk about him in a minute, about Andrew Luck. Andrew Luck's career got cut short a little bit because he was going behind terrible offensive lines, and then guess what? His shoulder gets hurt. You don't want to do that to a young quarterback.
Look at Dak. A lot of his success as a rookie was because he was behind the best offensive line in football.
100%, yes. So I think Tyrod Taylor, give him the entire season. Look, it's not going to hurt you if you go week 8 or 9 or 10 and say, okay, if Tyrod starts to struggle, then you can put Baker Mayfield in.
Absolutely.
And see what happens. You have all the time in the world. Let's not try to push something just because the fans might like it or, oh, he's our number one pick. Be patient. Patience is a virtue. I don't know why football fans don't oblige to that. It's going to be beneficial in the end for the Cleveland Browns to stick with Taylor.
Well, speaking of the Browns, and there was no way we were going to get through an ESPN game night without bringing up the one and only Dez Bryant.
Can we not?
We're going to have to. The story broke, I guess, at about 5 o'clock yesterday that John Dorsey had been trying to contact Dez, but Dez would not call him back. Dez hops on Twitter and says, sorry, my phone was dead. And then, in typical Dez fashion, goes on his little Twitter stroll. And he says he's going to start his visits next week and that he's going to visit with Dorsey and the Browns. And he was even tweeting about the game, like, oh, okay, Baker, okay, Tyrod. You know, he's keeping his eyes open. What are your thoughts, just since this is your first game night, just on this whole Dez situation in the first place, and do you like the fit in Cleveland if that ends up being the place he goes?
I think Dez Bryant needs to seriously put down the phone. He needs to put down the phone, put down social media. It is hurting his career. I think it is the dumbest thing to go on there and put your intentions out there. And it's ironic the first time we all got into this Dez situation was the same day Jason Witten pinned an article to ESPN about athletes ignoring their mentions. Mm-hmm. And it doesn't do you any good. But, of course, Dez is Dez. You cannot tell him what to do. But I think he would be a good fit in Cleveland. I think Cleveland would be awesome because guess what? You have two quarterbacks that like to throw the – and Todd Haley's offense, it can be work wonders for Dez Bryant. The only other teams I think Dez Bryant would work well with be maybe Green Bay or even the New England Patriots, but this would be a perfect option for Dez.
Well, and I'll throw another team in there, and this is who I've thought should have gotten him along. We saw him last night, San Francisco. Look at their receiving core. Marquise Goodwin – Pierre Garçon and Dante Pettis.
Yeah.
I think Dez could factor in just fine there.
And Jimmy Garoppolo would love that.
Absolutely. And I guess my question with Cleveland is he's not a better weapon than Jarvis Landry at this point.
No.
He's not better than Josh Gordon. Carlos Hyde's going to get carries. Njoku, the tight end last night, had 2 touchdowns. He's going to be a big factor in their offense. And this Callaway kid is their speed guy. where are the touches coming from if you're Dez Bryant in Cleveland? I mean, if he's willing to swallow his pride and be a secondary option on a team, but do you want to do that in Cleveland? That's the question. Does Dez want to go to Cleveland, a team that has been so bad for so long, and not even be a primary option?
Well, it depends on what Dez wants to do. If Dez wants a one-year deal to prove himself, then I would go to Cleveland because guess what? He's not that, you know, he wouldn't be that big of a distraction there probably. He will just try to work his way back just to have a team.
I guess I just don't know how much he can prove himself in Cleveland being behind all those guys.
I'm not on the idea that there's so many teams knocking on his door.
There's not.
No, and we would hear sources, this is not the best kept, you know, this is not the CIA. The NFL is the worst kept secret. Everybody talks. And so we would have heard something by now. So I'm sorry, Dez. This is his only last option. I think he needs to go there and, you know, try to be a good saint in the Cleveland Browns organization, and maybe he can prove himself, and maybe he'll get a longer-term deal somewhere else. But there's nowhere else he can go, honestly.
Well, we'll see how it plays out. We're going around the NFL here on ESPN Game Night. Harrison Graham, Asan Azad, Taylor Phillips with you. Baker Mayfield, he wasn't the only rookie quarterback in action last night.
Lamar Jackson, pocket collapsing. He's going to dart. He's going to run. Inside the five. Jackson in for the touchdown. Oh! Kind of quicks by Lamar Jackson, and that time I don't care if you're running through a college, a defense, or a Hall of Fame defense, nobody was going to bring that kid down.
I don't know when Lamar Jackson is going to be the Ravens' primary quarterback. I don't know if it's this year. I don't know if it's next year. I don't know if it ever happens. Here's what I know. He is the most dynamic athlete to play this position since Michael Vick. He is that fast. That explosive, and you look at the stat line, he's raw as a passer. I mean, last night, 7 of 18, 119 yards. The yards per completion, that's a good number. Less than 50%, not exactly what you're looking for, but he sits for a year or two with his ability as a runner. He's got a strong arm. If he can hone in on the accuracy, we're talking about a player that's going to be exciting to watch for a very long time.
I will say this. Coming into the NFL, he's already a better passer than Michael Vick. I thought Michael Vick was one of the worst passers of all time. He was just simply a running quarterback. But Lamar Jackson, I honestly think by midseason he could take over. Because I think Joe Flacco, honestly, I've never liked Joe Flacco. I thought he was one of the most overrated quarterbacks ever. I don't know how he won a Super Bowl, but he did. They had one great, you know, playoff run. Since then, Joe Flacco has been mediocre to me. I think Lamar Jackson, if things get really kind of dicey there in Baltimore, there's going to be a push for Lamar Jackson, and absolutely, I don't think how the coaches do not go to Lamar Jackson. Look at what happened in the Hall of Fame game, watching how Lamar Jackson and, you know, Joe Flacco kind of was like happy. There's kind of contention there because they showed Joe Flacco laughing when he had an interception when Lamar did. So there's contention there. I think Lamar Jackson, and there's going to be a push for make him the starter by midseason.
Well, and the thing, too, is that the Ravens can get out of Joe Flacco's contract next season. So the chatter is, unless Flacco just lights it up this year, he's gone after this year anyway. So it does make you wonder, say Baltimore's off to a 3-6 start, probably out of the playoff hunt, they're going to want to see this elusive and this exciting young quarterback in Lamar Jackson. So certainly something to look out for there for, too. Real quick, I know we're up against it here. Josh Allen made his debut last night, another rookie quarterback, 9 of 19, 116 yards and a touchdown. Some good, some bad there. Ryan Tannehill, he made his return back from injury last year. And Andrew Luck, and I want to play this real quick. We haven't seen him in a long time. Before he got hurt, one of the best quarterbacks in the NFL. Had some injury concerns, and let me see if I can get it here. Here it is. Andrew Luck talking after his first performance, where I think 6 of 9, 64 yards. Here's him after his first action in over a year.
I really had fun. I really enjoyed it. I didn't quite know how much fun, if I would have this much fun again practicing football. I didn't know if I'd have this much fun again playing football. And it's a preseason game, you know. I'm not going to blow anything out of proportion, but it's still a game, and it's still a chance to go up against another color jersey, and it was a fun step along the way.
And I think a lot of these players don't realize until it happens that how much they just miss the enjoyment of getting to play football when they miss this long of a time. And you hear it there from Andrew Luck. He's just glad to be back. I'm curious to see how he looks this year. I don't think he's got a very good team at all around him in Indy. And all of a sudden, the AFC South, I mean, the Texans, you got the Jags, the last even time, the Titans. I mean, they're clearly the worst team in that division.
The last time that he was really starting, of course, a few years ago, they were the top dogs. Everybody else were like little chicken scratches.
And
but
now he's chasing. So we'll see what him and the Colts bring to the table this year. I'm just excited and happy for him that he is back out there.